Thank you, ladies. The choice of songs for this week was awesome, so thank you.
Amen.
Much appreciated. So as I've had opportunity to preach in a number of different churches, face mask requirements are different from every church you go to, so you always come prepared. And my wife did a wonderful job of putting a face mask together for us, for our ministry. And see, that's one of the things about face masks, is that when you got hearing aids and microphones, they don't go together very well. But anyhow, so when we started our international ministry 3 years ago, my apologies to those of you who are watching on Facebook Live. So when we started our ministry 3 years ago, we decided to give it a... Oops, I'm sorry.
There we go.
We decided to give it a name, and so we call it Shepherd of Shepherds. And since God gave me the privilege of being a shepherd for some 40 years, and that he was calling us to do international work with pastors, it seemed very appropriate to be able to talk about our ministry at Shepherd of Shepherds. And so that's what Shepherd of Shepherds is all about, is our international ministry. Obviously, that got put on hold back in March of this year. And we were in Honduras doing ministry when all of a sudden the world shut down. And so our flights got canceled, so we were stuck there in Honduras, which was great. Quite frankly, if we were going to be stuck someplace, we wanted to be stuck someplace where we could do ministry. And what a great opportunity for another week and a half to do ministry outside of Comayagua. And then United finally got permission to come in and start taking United States citizens back to the United States, and so we found ourselves back here. You can pray for me. I am hoping that maybe the beginning of December to maybe get back down to Honduras. Honduras has opened its borders, and so there are flights going in, and I got a group of pastors that I have been training and equipping, and so I'm hoping to at least get down there and spend a few days with them, so you can keep that in prayer. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 14. This is a slight change from my notes, but I want to begin by just reading the first four verses of Exodus 14. So I want you to listen, and this kind of will set the stage for the things that we're going to talk about here this morning from God's Word. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people of Israel to turn back and to encamp in front of Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal Zephon. You shall encamp facing it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, 'They are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord.'" And they did so. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, in the midst of the craziness of this world, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of all the tension, Lord, that is going on right now, Lord, we acknowledge the fact that you are Almighty God and that we can trust you. And so, Lord, I pray that as we open your word this morning, that you will teach us what it is to, and what it means to trust you when all that's going on around us just doesn't make sense. Lord, I pray that as you use the children of Israel to declare your mighty character and who you are, Lord, I pray that you would use us for the same task and goal. May you get the glory in Christ, I pray. Amen. So I'm taking a poll, and I think it's appropriate in this day when everybody's being. Has anybody been polled as to what your leanings are politically? I never get polled. I wonder, all these people that get polled, who is it that's getting polled? But anyhow, I want to take a poll this morning. The poll is this. How many of you, looking back on 2019, thought to yourself or said to somebody, I can't wait until 2020 comes around? Anybody want to admit to that? A couple of you. 1919 may have been a difficult year for you, and you're thinking, I can't wait to get past 1919 and get into 2019, and I hope we're past 1919. My dad was born in 1919. I can't wait to get past 2019 and get into 2020. Well, we're the ones that are responsible for 2020, all right? So, but 2020 has been an absolutely crazy year. In fact, it may have been one of the craziest years in the entire history of the world. Now, I'm guessing that there were probably crazier times in the life of our world, in the history of our world. But the fact of the matter is that given the technology we have today, given the fact that we can know what's going on in the four corners of the earth within an hour's span of time or sooner, it makes our awareness of all the craziness that's going on and all the chaos that's going on and all the difficulties that are going on, it makes us aware of it much quicker. My grandfather was born and raised in Missouri. And when President McKinley was shot, it was a month later that they found out that the President of the United States was dead. Think about that. But in this day and age, we know what's going on all over the world very quickly. And because of that, there are times when we are so inundated with information that we are in information overload. And with the chaos that's going on, it really makes life pretty difficult. When I stepped down from being senior pastor at Living Grace, people would ask me, what do you miss about being a pastor? And my response is, I miss two things. I miss the privilege of being able to preach every week and to share God's word. And I miss the people. And I don't miss anything else. I think about what Pastor Marcus and the leadership here at Lake Region and other churches, the challenges that they've been going through to try to do ministry, to try to do live worship in a way that is going to be safe for everybody. And it has not been easy. As area superintendent for the 23 churches in this area, I've had some great opportunities to have Zoom meetings and to interact with pastors and to just talk to them about what they're doing. And like Lake Region, many of them were having outdoor services until it got too cold and wet to be able to do that any longer. But there are no two churches that are doing it exactly the same way. And yet the fact of the matter is that every pastor and every church leadership wants to do what's best in order to provide worship to Almighty God in an environment that's going to be safe for its people. And that has been a challenge. We were just up in Wisconsin and talking with the pastor of a free church up in Wisconsin yesterday. And there's some very large evangelical free churches that are yet to be able to meet like we're meeting here today, simply because of the size of the church and the inability to be able to effectively start meeting and together again. They're incredible challenges. And again, as area superintendent and as I am interacting with pastors, there's some pastors that are going through some pretty difficult times. Pastors that are leaving ministry because of the stress and because oftentimes, whether people realize it or not, they're complaining and they're arguing is just, it's overwhelming to the pastors to the point that they're saying, you know what, I just can't deal with this anymore. And so one of the things that I want to encourage you, as I'm with you today, is to know that in the midst of these crazy times, in the midst of the chaos, there are no greater time for us as the body of Christ to be coming back to the Lord and saying, Lord, help us. Help us to do this right. Help us, Lord, to be honoring and glorifying to you as we do ministry. This morning we are going to take some time to look at Moses as he led the children of Israel out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. And as we look at him and all the events that took place here in Exodus chapter 14, I want to ask you this question. When everything around me is going crazy and everything around me is in chaos and doesn't make sense, can I trust in the sovereign God? Can I trust in the sovereign God? This morning we're going to look at three truths regarding the whole issue of change and when life all of a sudden goes sideways. And the first is this: change is a reality of life. Whether we like it or not, change is a reality of life. And the first reality of change is this: we all go through it. We all go through it. Every one of us is going through significant change. Just think about this past year. Think about the things that you've had to do differently, things that you never imagined that you would do, that you now find yourself doing. One of the opportunities Claudia and I have been given is the opportunity to be in Jerusalem for 6 weeks at a time. And the entire world is coming to Jerusalem. The entire world is coming to Israel. And one of the things that we see is that there are certain parts of the world where all the travelers, all the pilgrims that are coming to Jerusalem are wearing masks. And they've been doing that for years. It didn't just start this year. It was happening for years. And now all of a sudden, pretty much everywhere we go, we're wearing masks. You want to go to Walmart, you want to go to a restaurant, you're wearing a mask. I never imagined that that would be something that I would be doing. And yet, now all of a sudden, things have changed. One of the things we need to realize is that we all go through change. And one of the questions is, how do I handle change? I think all of us would like to say, you know, I can handle change. I can handle change as long as I'm the one that's controlling it. I can handle change as long as I'm the one that we're doing it the way I want it to be done. I can handle change as long as it's my idea, right? Right? Change is easy when we're the ones orchestrating all of it. But what happens when all of a sudden we aren't orchestrating it? What happens when all of a sudden it's out of our control? Can we still handle it? We all go through change. The second reality of change is this: it doesn't always make sense. It doesn't always make sense. Change impacts all of us. Sometimes we view that change as being good, but oftentimes we look at that change as being not so good, and we wrestle with it. It doesn't make sense. I'm not going to ask you how many of you changed in 2020, as we all have, in one way or another, we all have. But what are the ways that you've changed? Are there things that have make you, are you more sensitive to things that are going on that you never gave thought to before? When the year 2020 began, none of us could have possibly imagined what would be happening over the next 8, 9, 10 months. Couldn't possibly have imagined that. I mentioned my wife and I were in Honduras when COVID impacted the entire world. We had all kinds of plans for 2020. We were coming home from Honduras. We had plans to be in Cuba. We had plans to be in Zambia. We had plans to be in Kenya, in Albania. Our plan was really to be in Albania right now. But all of a sudden, all of that got shut down. In the blink of an eye, our lives changed. And it's one of the realities of change, is that it doesn't always make sense. We find ourselves being confined to our homes. Our kids are having to learn from a computer at home rather than being able to go to school. Unable to worship together. Not enough toilet paper, not enough hand sanitizer. You know why we ran out of toilet paper? Because we all had to start eating our own cooking. That's the reason we ran out of toilet paper. But all of a sudden we had loved ones who were now suffering from COVID, and some getting very sick and some even passing away. At the age of almost 102, my mom was in a nursing home and she was in hospice care. And when we finally got home from Honduras, we were unable to go see her. So the last time I was able to see my mom was just a few days before we left for Honduras, until the 12 hours before she passed, went to a coma and then passed away, and the Lord called her home. She didn't die from COVID. I think my mom, my dad had passed away almost 3 years ago, and my mom just got tired of fighting. And she was ready to go see her Savior and to see her husband of almost 70 years. And I'm grateful that the Lord took her early in this whole crazy time. Wedding plans that got put on hold. Vacations that got canceled. Jobs lost. Businesses closed. The racial tensions in our country. In a heartbeat, our world went from some sense of what's normal to absolute craziness. One of the realities of change is that there are times when change doesn't go the way we think it's going to go. Third thing about change is this: all change should be a reminder to us of our need to trust in a sovereign God. We have a sovereign God who's in control of all things. And in the midst of all of this, even when we can't see that, this should be a huge reminder to all of us that we can and should be trusting in a sovereign God. You know, when you read through the Old Testament and the New Testament, you see time after time after time, whereas God is looking to accomplish his plans, that he will take his people and he will take them through difficult times. Abraham, Joseph, Daniel, every single one of them, as God was using those men to have an eternal impact on God's world, he took them through some very difficult times and brought huge change into their lives. Comes to Abraham and says, "Abraham, I want you to leave and go to a land that I'm going to show you." He's asking Abraham to leave everything and to go someplace where he hasn't even told him where it is yet. And Joseph, as Joseph is trying to honor the Lord, Joseph then ends up getting thrown into prison and persecuted for being an honoring man. You have Daniel who will not bow down to a foreign god and is thrown to a lion's den. You see women like Sarah and Ruth and Esther, who God used for to accomplish his plans and purposes and took them through some incredibly difficult times. You go to the New Testament and you see how Peter and Paul and others are persecuted for their faith, and yet God used them in order to see the church grow and grow. We have a sovereign God who's in control of all things, and even when we don't understand it, and even when nothing around us makes sense, we can trust in Him. It's in times like these, times of uncertainty, that in the midst of all the change that is going on, that we need to trust in the sovereignty of Almighty God. Early in our transition ministry, we had all kinds of plans, and we had been in Albania in February of that 2018, and we were getting ready to go to Cuba in March of 2018. We had been told that our visas had been approved, but they had not been released. All of a sudden, first week in March, we find out that they have not released our visas, so we can't go to Cuba, so we have to put everything on hold. Then 6 weeks later, middle of April, your visas have been released. When can you come to Cuba? One of the things that we learned real quick in our ministry is that we can have all kinds of great plans, but God is the one who is guiding and directing and all that. And Proverbs 16:9 became our ministry verse, as it were. Man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. And so as we have been doing international ministry, we've been doing it holding lightly where we go and when we go, knowing that God's timing is always perfect and we can trust Him even when it doesn't make sense to us. The challenges are not only a reality, the challenges also have change also has their challenges. I want to talk about three challenges. And we're going to look at Exodus chapter 14. Children of Israel. Interesting. The children of Israel provide us with all kinds of great examples. It provides Pastor Marcus and I, and Kurt, it provides us with some great material for preaching, right? And I wonder from time to time, if God were writing the scriptures today, who would He be using as the illustrations that He used with the children of Israel? And would I fit into that category? Would I be some of the people that God might choose to say, okay, this is not how to do it, all right? But when you go through the Old Testament, you see that the children of Israel provide us with some great examples of how not to do it. But we also learn some great things about who God is and how God works, even in spite of sometimes very untrustworthy people. And the first challenge that we have when it comes to change is this. Change doesn't always go as planned. Not only doesn't make sense, it doesn't always go as planned. In Exodus chapter 14, we have the account of Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and to the Red Sea. And the children of Israel were more than happy to go. They were excited about leaving Egypt. In fact, you get a sense that the children of Israel were almost arrogant as they were leaving. I want you to look at verse 8 of Exodus chapter 14. In verse 8 of chapter 14, we read these words, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel, while the people of Israel were going out defiantly." Those are interesting words. Children of Israel are going out defiantly. They are leaving Egypt, and they are leaving Egypt defiantly. That Hebrew word actually means to raise a hand or raise a fist. And you can almost picture the children of Israel as they're leaving, say, "This is to you, Pharaoh. This is to you, Egyptians. We beat you and we're leaving and you're letting us leave." And there's this sense of arrogance, a sense of almost selfish pride that look what we did as they're leaving. And there's a sense of defiance. Well, it's interesting to note that in the midst of that defiance and that almost sense of overconfidence, all of a sudden God changes the game plan. Ever had times in your life where you thought God was leading in one direction, all of a sudden He changes the game plan? Well, He changes the game plan. And so you go back up to verse 2 that we read a little bit earlier of chapter 14, and it says this. Tell the people of Israel to turn back. Tell the people of Israel to turn back. Children of Israel, God had been leading the children of Israel away from Egypt and heading kind of southeast. They haven't crossed the Red Sea yet, but he's heading southeast away from Egypt, away from Pharaoh and his armies. And then all of a sudden God says, okay, Moses, I want you to redirect the people, and I want you to redirect them back north. Why on earth would we do that? That's where we're going back towards Egypt. We want to get as far away as we possibly can from the Egyptians. But he has them starting to move back, and he has them moving right to a point where they have the Red Sea on one side, and they have the Egyptian army on the other side, and they are trapped. They are absolutely trapped. And you can imagine the children of Israel thinking in their mind, why on earth are we doing this? Moses, are you crazy? Did your compass break? What on earth is going on? And there are times in our lives when God in his sovereignty will lead us in one direction, and all of a sudden he'll lead us in another direction. It doesn't make sense to us. That's where the children of Israel were. But then the second thing we learn about the challenge of change is this. When change happens in ways that don't make sense to us, change can cause some very emotional responses. Some very emotional responses. I think every single one of us have had moments of frustration with how the whole COVID thing is being handled and decisions that are being made and some agreeing and others not agreeing. And it's just been, so we've all been caught up in the emotions. And one of the things that we see here in Exodus chapter 14 are the emotions of the people as all of a sudden they're having to deal with change in a way that they didn't expect. Let me read for you, beginning with verse 10 and down through verse 12. I want you to just listen to the emotions of the people. Verse 10 begins with these words. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. And they were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. He goes on. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? And then they continue. What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? And then finally, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. You hear all those emotions? Can you feel all those emotions? Have we had some of those emotions over the last 9 months as we've been dealing with the craziness of what's going on around us? The fear, the feeling of being trapped, the complaining, the lashing out at those in leadership because of what they're doing, the sarcasm. Were there no graves in Egypt that you bring us out here to the desert to die? We're good at sarcasm, right? 2020 hindsight. I'm so tired of 2020 hindsight. I'm so tired of people saying, well, if I had been in that situation, this is what I would have done. I'm so tired of that. Then the second guessing of leadership. Every one of these emotions has the potential of showing up during times of change, particularly during times of change when things aren't going the way we thought they should or would want. We've seen the emotions of friends and family. We've seen the emotions of leaders. We've seen the emotions of people that we work with. And one of the things that is important for us to understand is that in times of change, when things don't go the way we think they should, people are going to respond emotionally. And we need to recognize that not everybody's going to respond the same way. Some people are going to kind of roll with it. Other people, that's the last thing that they're prepared to do. I mentioned to you that as churches are trying to come back together and worship together, that no two churches are doing it the same way. That's okay. It's all right. There's a third challenge that comes with change. And that's that when change happens, there are always going to be losses and gains. There are going to be things that have to be given up in order to gain the things that we want, that we need to gain. Every change involves letting go of the past in order to gain the future. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to recognize that when it comes to God changing in our lives, that we need to be willing to let go of the things that God is saying let go of in order that we can then lay hold of the things that God wants us to lay hold of as we move on in ministry in the future. It's not always easy to do, particularly when we're in the middle of change. What do you notice about the response of the children of Israel when things don't go the way they thought? As you read through Exodus, as you read through Numbers, this isn't the only time that the children of Israel had difficulty with the change of plans. As you read through Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy over and over and over again, there's one challenge after next, and the children of Israel are constantly responding the way that we read here in Exodus chapter 14, in Numbers chapter 14. In verse 2, it says, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt." And then in verse 4, "Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt." They were on the threshold of moving into the promised land in Numbers chapter 14. And in Numbers chapter 16, we have the account of the 12 spies going into the land and coming back, and 10 say, "No, we can't go." 2 are saying, Joshua and Caleb, "Yeah, we can go." And the people are discouraged and they're frustrated. And let's just go back. Let's just go back. It's one of the challenges of change. But I want to talk about the benefits of change. And the first benefit is this. We have a sovereign God, and the sovereignty of God is demonstrated when we allow for change in our lives. And one of the benefits of change is that change gets us from where we are to where God wants us to be. The only way that the children of Israel were going to get to the promised land was if he got them out of Egypt. And while the children of Israel didn't realize what it was going to take to get out of Egypt and to get to the promised land, the fact of the matter is that the only way that they were going to experience the blessing of God in getting them to the promised land was if they were willing to let go of and move away from what they were comfortable with, what they already knew. It's one of the challenges of change for all of us, is that sometimes we become so comfortable with where we're at that we're unwilling to move to where we need to be. One thing that's fascinating to me is how God will sometimes get us where he wants us to be, not by going directly from A to B, but he goes A2 to B. Ever been there? Where you were sure that God wanted you, maybe you were at a job transfer, and you were sure that God wanted you to have that job, and so you moved from the job you had to the job, this new job, and then all of a sudden you realize that this isn't where I ought to be, this is what I thought of, and that all of a sudden then leads you to where God really wants you. I had a dear friend who was out of the East Coast and had a job there, had a great job, went all the way to the West Coast to take a new job there, got there, and 6 months later the company shut down, which ultimately led him then to the Midwest and to our church, and had a profound impact and leadership in our church over the years that I was there. It took God getting them from the East Coast to the West Coast to finally get them to Cary, Illinois. Because he never would have gotten to Cary, Illinois simply by coming from the East Coast. God has a way of doing that. It's one of the incredible benefits that we have as we go through times of change, recognizing that in those times of change that God is getting us from where we are to where he wants us to be. As believers in Jesus Christ, I want you to think about the changes that took place in your life when you put your faith and trust in Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, God's word tells us this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. That's the whole process of change. That when we come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the old has been laid aside. Because we now have a new life in Christ. Chapter earlier, in chapter 4, says, for the momentary, verse 17, for the momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. When we're going through times of suffering, when we're going through times of difficult change in our life, do we see it as a part of what God is doing in our lives in order to prepare us for eternity? In order to use us where we are at, use us in this time for the future? The second benefit of change is that change allows us to see God do what we can't. To see God do what we could never do. One of the beautiful things about this story is that as God comes to the children of Israel, in the midst of all of their fears and frustration, God comes to them and he says, watch me. Watch me. Marcus preached from Psalm 121 last week. And those first two verses are an incredible reminder of how in the midst of the challenges of our lives, that God is there and we can trust him because of his sovereignty and his power. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. One of the first benefits of change is that we see God's sovereignty demonstrated. The second benefit of change is that we see God's power being demonstrated. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You need only to be still. We don't do a very good job of being still, do we? We want to be doing something. We want to be doing something. And sometimes God is just saying, you know what? Just be still and watch me. Watch me work. That's my encouragement to you, is God is taking us through these times of change, that we will take the time to just be still and say, Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And then, Lord, if you want to use me, how do you want to use me to do what you want to do? Verse 18 of chapter 14. The verse goes, the chapter goes on to say this, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. How exciting is it? How exciting is it when we see God get the glory because of God doing something that we could have never done ourselves? Are you giving God opportunity to do that in your life? In the midst of COVID and the unrest, are you giving God the chance to say, Lord, how do you want to use me? What do you want to do? Are there people, Lord, that you want me to minister to that maybe I haven't thought of? Maybe you're thinking, oh, I could never do that. And I'm saying, maybe you couldn't on your own. But are you willing to let God do in you and through you what you couldn't do on your own? And exciting for me is an area superintendent to be able to see what the churches are doing to have an impact on the communities. The ministries that are going on are incredible, and they're new. They're things that are happening not only here in the Chicago area, the Great Lakes District, but ministries that we're involved in Honduras, the feeding programs that they're doing. It's just incredible. And how God is providing for that. It wasn't in their budget. And yet God provided the resources in order that they might share the love of Christ. The third benefit of change is this. Change gives us a reason to praise God and trust Him all the more. Praise God and to trust Him all the more. Verse 31 of chapter 14. When the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him and in Moses, His servant. One of the great benefits of change is that God gets the glory. You know what's interesting? If you go to Joshua chapter 2, you have the account of the two spies going into the promised land to check it out, and how the prostitute Rahab protects them. And you know what Rahab says? You know what brought her to that point in her life where she believed God and trusted in Him? It were the events of the Red Sea. The reputation of God 40 years earlier is what led her to believe that the God who delivered the children of Israel from the Egyptians is the God I can trust as He brings the children of Israel into my land. Verse 31. And when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord they displayed against the Egyptians, people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him and in Moses, His servant. We've endured several months of craziness, but it's not over with, folks. We've got an election coming up, and these next few weeks are going to be crazy, and even beyond November 3rd, it's going to be crazy. So the question is how are we going to allow God to be sovereign in our lives, individually and corporately as a church, in order to be able to minister to people and the communities around us in the midst of the craziness and the chaos? Our hope is not in the political system of our country. Our hope is in the sovereign Almighty God. And may we allow God to use us to communicate that message, not only in word, but also in deed, that people would know that our trust is in God. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You that in the midst of the uncertainties of our lives, that, Lord, we can trust You. Lord, I pray that as we trust You, that we will see Your sovereignty, that Your sovereign control over all things, that we will see You work in powerful ways, and that You will get the glory. In Christ I pray. Amen.